Lord, indeed, we are forever grateful for the cross. Lord, that you came and sought us out. Lord, we were dead in our sins. We couldn't approach you, but you came and found us in completely different ways for each one of us. But Lord, in each way, you came and sought us out and saved us. Lord, we are forever grateful. Lord, we pray now that you would speak to us as we just hear a few thoughts of these words, and that, Lord, we would be encouraged by the words that you may speak to us. We ask in your name. Amen. Okay, so Acts 18, verses 18 to 28. We've been working through Acts in our house group, I'd say over the last few weeks, but actually it's been over the last few months, really. It's taken quite a while. It's a big book. We're almost there. I think this Wednesday we may complete it. I say that every time, and we never do, but hopefully we're at Acts 27 this week. So, but not so long ago, maybe a month or 6 weeks ago, we looked at Acts 18. And if you're familiar with the book of Acts, you're familiar, hopefully, with the account that follows the life of Paul and how the church is established in different areas as Paul is led by the Lord and speaks God's word and shares the gospel. And his usual approach was to go into an area and then to speak in the synagogue. And in chapter 17, verse 2, it tells us, I'll read verse 1 actually. When Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. So as he did this, it was some Jews believed, some Gentiles believed. At some times he faced opposition, and at other times he was able to stay for a period of time and reason with the Jews and see some of those Jews become believers. But sometimes that opposition was extremely severe and would drive Paul away. Also, you would think, and actually back in Acts chapter 14, in verse 19, we read, "Some Jews then came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over." Not in a positive way. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered round him, he got up and didn't leave, but he went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the gospel in that city, won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. So even when he faced the severest oppositions, Paul was brave, and he went back in. Hopefully that would be an encouragement to the Hawthorns, maybe. Maybe they don't feel, maybe they're not facing quite that level of opposition, but maybe they're facing opposition through their circumstances. Hopefully they'll be encouraged by what Paul did. So you might ask, well, what's unusual about this reading in Acts 18? He goes to the synagogue in exactly the same way, and he receives quite a warm welcome. It says he himself went into the synagogue in verse 19 and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. And I think that's what is unusual in this passage. Paul was given the opportunity to stay and reason with the Jews, and he had been doing that in other synagogues. But on this occasion, Paul turns down this great invitation to stay. There must have been a great opportunity for some of those Jews to believe. But for whatever reason, remarkably, Paul declines their invitation. Now, on face value, you can look at that and think, what a great open door. Imagine if somebody, we knock on the doors as we did. Some people went round door knocking in this area, and occasionally they got invited in. And imagine if those people then said, please come back next week and talk to us more. Say, sorry, I can't. I need to move on. It's really what Paul was saying, and yet he had such an open door there. And one has to ask why Paul felt on this occasion that he was declining that open door. There's nothing in these verses that tell us why Paul might have been doing that. One has to assume that his relationship with God was so close that he sensed the Lord moving him on. It doesn't say that, but I think it's reasonable to assume that, that he felt that he was right, that he moved on. He may not have known why, but nonetheless, he felt he should move on. And that in itself, I think, presents a challenge to us, doesn't it? That we don't necessarily look at those things that are open doors. I'm not saying open doors are wrong, but that we can't just look at those doors. We have to look at what God is saying to us. We have to have a close enough relationship with him to know whether he is leading us in that direction or whether we're just following because that is the path that is open to us. Paul didn't do that. But as we read on then, in verse 24, it says, "Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of scriptures. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew the baptism of John. When he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, Priscilla and Aquila had heard him. They invited him to their home and explained to him even more the way of God, more adequately." Now, Paul did not know that Apollos was being led by God to the synagogue at Ephesus, but he was. And although Paul moved on, God brought somebody else in his place to speak boldly, powerfully in that synagogue. Paul could have taken the view of he is too important. It's not hard to think Paul may have felt he was an important man. I don't feel particularly that you sense pride in what's written about Paul, but he clearly battled with things, and maybe from time to time, maybe pride was one thing. I'm not saying it was, but maybe. But he, in this situation, didn't think, I have to stay. I have to speak to these Jews. I can't move on. What's going to happen to these Jews? He moved on. He went where God was leading him to. And God opened the door, not for Paul, but opened the door for Apollos to come into that synagogue. And maybe sometimes we feel we can't let go of something. Maybe sometimes we feel we are too important in what we're doing. And yet occasionally maybe God is saying to us that we need to let go of a responsibility we have. Maybe God has somebody else lined up to come in and to speak fervently in the way that Apollos did. Paul was happy to take God's lead. He didn't just take the open door, he took God's lead, he moved on, and God brought in someone else. And Paul was not driven by circumstance. Sometimes we are, aren't we? Sometimes we could be knocked off course by the circumstances we find. You can use the same argument that Paul didn't accept this open door and declines the invitation in the same way as sometimes a closed door doesn't necessarily mean we shouldn't keep knocking at that door. Keep asking God whether that is the route we need to go. Just because that door is closed doesn't mean it is closed forever. In the Holiday Bible Club this year, the children were taught about Joseph. I think that's right, isn't it? Yeah, that's a relief. Imagine Joseph's story. Most of you, in fact, probably all of you know Joseph's story. But imagine being Joseph. He was sold by his brothers. I mean, that's pretty bad, isn't it? But then his brothers pretend he's dead. And then he's sold on again. Finally thinks things might be going well. He gets a position in Potiphar's court. And then he's accused, falsely accused, of adultery. And so it all falls away, and he's sent to prison. And then you think, what else could possibly go wrong? Things get restored, and then the cupbearer, the chief cupbearer, forgets who he is. You think, surely not. Eventually, God lifts him up. But imagine being Joseph in that situation. He didn't look at his circumstances. He was faithful to God. He stayed faithful to God, even when his circumstances would have said, where has God gone? And in Genesis 39, verse 23, actually Keith referred to it a couple of weeks ago in his sermon. It says, the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in all he did. The Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in all he did. Sometimes you must have wondered, being Joseph, really? Are you really giving me success in all I do? And yet, that is what was said of him. Same with Daniel, same story, you'll be familiar. If he looked at his circumstances, he would not have been faithful in the way that he was. He continued in prayer even when an edict was given by the king to not pray anymore, to stop praying. He continued in his tower praying publicly. He carried on being faithful to God. He stood against the food and wine that the king wanted him to eat. He said, no, I don't want this rich food, this wine. I will carry on just eating fruit and veg. And God honours him. And even when things seem to go wrong, he's put in the lion's den, things seem to go wrong, God sends his angel. The circumstances would not speak of God being with him, and yet indeed they were. There are just some examples. Paul here, Daniel, Joseph, of people who didn't look at circumstances. They looked at the Lord. And the other thing about Daniel's story, I think, that is really encouraging is he had friends, fellow people, fellow Jews in this case, to support him. Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego. They worked with him, they supported him, to the point that they went into the fiery furnace. And God honours them too. And that's an encouragement for us too. If we're going through difficult circumstances, if things seem to be going wrong, we need to surround ourselves with Christian believers. They will be an encouragement to us. They will walk with us. They will stand with us through those difficult times. They will pray with us. Hopefully they will direct us in the way that God wants us to go. There was no stage really within Joseph's story, even in this situation of Paul's story or in Daniel's story, where they could see what was going to happen next. And that often, probably always, is the case for us too, isn't it? We cannot see what will happen, even this evening, certainly not tomorrow. We don't know, but we need to be walking closely with the Lord. Circumstances may be going against us. We need to be walking closely to God and trust God's plan for our lives. So we need to encourage one another. When we're struggling, it's a real encouragement to have others alongside us. And so the reverse will be true as well. When they're struggling, hopefully we can encourage them. But ultimately, let's fix our eyes, as Paul did, as Daniel did, as Joseph did, fix our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith, the one who didn't wait but came to us. He sought us out. Let's keep our eyes fixed on him. Amen.